Boy, what a week of baseball. Nice entree. Very nice. Okay, next is Chariots of Fire coming up next.
Sure, no problem.
Hey, let's go down to L.A. Andy Baggerly of CSN is with us at CSN Bags with two G's. Andy, how are you this morning?
Hey, Marty. Boy, that was dramatic. we're going to get maybe some Wagner next, some Rugged and Valkyries.
Really? My goodness. Yeah. All right, it's Monday. It's Saturday morning. What can I tell you? Hey, what a week of baseball for you and for Giants fans and just baseball in general. The biggest story around the ball club for you, I mean, there's so many storylines. What is it for you?
Biggest story around the ball club. That's a good question. You know, I don't know. I always think the rotation is the most important thing about this team. I think that's going to be the element they have to have to get them where they go, especially when they play 81 home games, because you're just not going to come back and win many 10-9 games at AT&T Park. We know what the games have to be like, what the script has to be like there. So, you know, you don't make too much out of one turn through the rotation, but we've seen every guy once, and, you know, it's been a little up and down. Bumgarner, obviously, four innings, and that was largely due to having to come out for a pinch hitter, but he was, you know, not quite the Bumgarner sharpness that we saw in spring training. And Kane, you know, I've had several scouts come up to me and say, what was that with Kane? Because he's shaking off his fastball when he used to shake to it. He's throwing first pitch breaking balls. It was, you know, kind of a weird outing for him. Lincecum, we saw, I think, a pretty good start out of him. Two mistakes that he paid for, including one to a guy, Goldschmidt, that he's going to probably throw underhand to next time because he can't get him out. And then, you know, you look at Hudson, that was obviously the gem of the bunch. Really could not have gone very better. I came away extraordinarily impressed with the way he was able to move the ball around, get late movement, get guys to hit it on the ground. He's never given up a home run, Marty, in 13 starts against, or I should say, in I think it's 8 starts at Chase Field. That's really hard to do.
Wow, I did not know that. Very good.
And then you've got Vogelsong, who was just sawing off bats and looking great for 3 innings, and then you know, he's got to be able to get through the lineup at least a second time clean and hopefully, you know, most of the way through a third. And so that was a little bit troubling that he couldn't maintain what he was doing so well early on. So, you know, you see a few red flags here and there, which I wrote about after the game last night. And but you look up and, hey, they're 4-1. They've got the best record in the National League right now. They were able to score 6 runs and the biggest first inning ever at Dodger Stadium, and it came in the Dodgers' very first home inning of the year. So nice to take a big dump on opening day for your arch rival. So you know, you sort of look at this and you realize, you know, maybe they need to start cleaning a few things up, but at the same time, hey, 4-1, and you take it and you don't ask questions.
No, and Andy Baggerly with us, of course. You know, 4-1 on the road, huge. I mean, you know, here we are. You want to establish your playing against the National League West, and they certainly did that against Arizona. And they beat a guy yesterday that has given them trouble in Ryu. They'll see Mahalem today, a lefty, and they've handled him the last couple of times out. They've hit him hard. And then you get Greinke on Sunday, and the Greinke-Kane game for me becomes instructive because I want to see how they handle Greinke, and I want to see how Kane bounces back. So my take on this week, it's instructive to me on how they
came. You know,
go ahead.
I agree, and they didn't see a whole lot of Greinke last year just because, you know, they didn't pitch in the series or he was hurt. And I believe that the Dodgers went, I think it's 16-1 in his last 17 starts. It was something along those lines. Very quietly, because Kershaw won the Cy Young and had an awesome year, Greinke was just lights out in the second half. He was terrific and was as much a part of the Dodgers being able to go 42-8 over that 50-game run as anybody else. And I'm really interested to see what he looks like and how the Giants match up against him and how Kane can rise to the occasion against a guy who's, you know, a number one, number two type starter.
Yeah, and I agree with you on Kane, and I would have said the same thing to you because he was working hard, and you know he's your guy. And, you know, his first start, he was working awfully hard. He never looked really comfortable out there. And that, to me, you know, you'd like to see your guy look a little bit better as the season. There were a couple of flat performances all over baseball. Bullpen guys had trouble. But, you know, it's only the first week. But that, to me, tomorrow is a game. I want to see how he bounces back as well. Andy Bagley,
well, Marty, they've got a winning road trip in their pocket already. Yeah. They've already won four on a seven-game trip. But I think good teams right now, this is when you get greedy. You've got Bumgarner, you've got Kane, or your top two guys. You know, this is when a good team starts. That's how you really push over 500, is you're not just satisfied with a winning road trip. And I feel that, you know, the Giants are going to take that attitude into these next two games.
Yeah, and I think the other thing about this beginning of the season, they wanted to come out of the gate with some confidence. This is a ball club, you know, and I was there in spring training with you. They were challenged to come back and be a good ball club. They know they were not any good last year. And they wanted to come out, and they got it done. And these two-out hits, it's incredible. They're hitting .538 with runners in scoring position and two out. That can't last forever. But it says a couple of things to me. One, they're concentrating on at-bats that mean something. And two, they are getting people on ahead of the next guy. And, that's good.
I mean, you talk about an at-bat that you could have given away. Look at Pablo Sandoval in the first inning yesterday. Bases empty, two outs. It's looking like a 1-2-3 inning. It's, I believe, a 3-1 count, and he takes a pitch outside, runs halfway down the first base line, throws his bat, and the umpire calls a strike. And so Pablo's got to get back in the box with a full count. And we're talking up in the press box, and I think it was Henry Shulman who says, well, you have to swing at this next pitch, you know, which is sound logic because, you know, you just kind of showed up the umpire a little bit. You're probably not going to get any kind of borderline call. So everybody thought Pablo was going to be swinging there 3-2. Well, he got a high pitch. He recognized it was a high pitch. He took it, and he got ball four. And so, you know, he was a guy who had a good at-bat or a good plate appearance, and he didn't give it away right there in that situation. And what happened? Well, he's the first of nine guys to reach base, and you know, how innocently a six-run inning started. And, you know, it's not exactly a repeatable set of circumstances. He had a sun ball in there. He had a pitcher who hadn't had an at-bat all spring long, as you mentioned, who had two hits all of last season, and he comes up first time, bases loaded, and drives in two. So, you know, it was certainly an inning where the Giants had a lot of luck on their side. But, you know, with Pablo starting it off, they made a little of their own luck, too. And that's what you have to do.
Yeah, and it was good. They played decent baseball other than that first game where they kicked the ball around like crazy. They started, you know, to tighten it up and play good baseball. How about the top of the order? First of all, Pagan is doing what everyone hoped he would do, and that is be a great leadoff hitter. He's driven in seven runs, but he looks so good at the plate, nice in the field as well. And the number two spot. Is there any argument maybe just keep Belt in there the whole time and put Pence back? Because Pence is the 1-for-20 right now.
Well, and Belt is doing pretty good against lefties, you know, so I think you could make an argument for that. And Bruce Bochy likes lineup continuity. He likes having the guys that can go to the post every day that don't have to worry about, will I be in there or where am I going to be hitting? So I could see that happening. I definitely could if Belt shows that he can be competent against lefties and righties, which I think he can be. Then maybe you can move Pence down in the lineup a little bit. But, you know, it's a long season, and as we know, Bochy doesn't necessarily change everything up based on one day, but he also isn't afraid to, you know, react to what's happening and make those adjustments over time. And I think if Belt is productive against lefties, then you might see that as the everyday two-hitter.
Now, again, you know, you and I talk about so many things every day. I love to bring them back for the fans so we can share it. Middle relief, and we talked about Gutierrez, Huff, and I still put Machi in that class, but Machi has settled into the seventh inning guy. But I love what I see out of Gutierrez, and, you know, I thought he threw the ball well, even when he gave up the two runs that eventually cost Kane the game, I think, at least a win. Down there in Arizona. I like Gutierrez. If he puts the ball where he wants to put it, I think he's terrific. And I thought Huff, all in all, did a decent job yesterday of getting out of a real tough jam.
Mm-hmm. And you heard what John Miller said on the highlight you just played. Well, that was 96. Whoa, that was 97. You know, Gutierrez, the Giants do a good job every year. I have to give them a lot of credit. They do a really good job bringing in non-roster guys. And you can, you know, go down the line with the Gregor Blancos, the Andres Torres, what he did in 2010. Juan Uribe was a non-roster guy at one time. And these guys stick around and become a big part of things. And I got to be honest, I looked at the list of non-roster guys this spring, and I thought, well, maybe their run's going to come to an end. Maybe I don't think any of these guys are really going to be a factor. And then Gutierrez makes the team, throwing 96 with the power slider. And Brandon Hicks, man, I mean, I'm telling you, you look at all
he can hit. He can
hit.
He can hit, Marty.
Take a drink. I don't mean to, you know, cast aspersions on anybody, but, you know, Nick Noonan got a lot of at-bats on this team last year and really didn't make a lot of noise with those at-bats. And now you're going to see Brandon Hicks getting those at-bats, and he's a guy who can drive the ball and really do something to turn around an inning, make an impactful type of hit, especially against lefties. And so I think the Giants have improved themselves again with some of these non-roster finds. And you got to give Brian Sabian's staff a lot of credit, their scouting staff, and Bobby Evans, because, you know, you got to find these guys and convince them that they have a good opportunity and then keep an open mind. And the Giants pretty much did all three.
Well, great to have you on. Weather, I assume, is good down there today?
Yeah, really nice. I'm going to have to run outside and because my parking meter, I think, expires in about 15 minutes down downtown L.A. here. So, but, yeah, no, it's a nice day in L.A. And looking forward to another 9 innings of Giants baseball.
Boy, we love following you and on the Twitter, CSN Bags, and nobody writes the stories after the game. Really, you're doing a great job, Andy. You really are. It's a pleasure to have you on, as always.
You are too kind, Mark.
No, I'm not. You deserve it. Now, if you want to have a wonderful moment as we hang up with you and get you going, take a look at Kendry Flores' line last night for San Jose. Take a look at that, and then it'll be in your notes today somewhere. 7 innings, 2-hit ball, and it was just one of those days like he had at Augusta last year. It was really impressive.
Well, it's a little bit better than Jeremy Affeldt's line. I think did you mention that yet?
No, I haven't. A third of an inning, and the roof fell in on him.
I think he faced 7 batters, and it was 3 hits, 2 walks, and a hit batter. He only retired one. So they were thinking they'd bring him back for the second home game after one more appearance Sunday for Fresno. I'm wondering if maybe they're going to push that back a little bit. Not sure what was going on, but just the box score itself didn't hold a whole lot of promise there.
All right. Andy, thanks so much. Hope we could talk to you tomorrow. I'll be in touch with you.
Okay, sounds good, Marty.
All right, have a good one. That's Andy Bagley. Always a pleasure. CSN Bags with 2 G's. All right, more coming up right here on the Sports Leader.